So now I'm obsessed with time. Come on, tell me about the time. Had it all in my head tonight.
Welcome to American Timelines.
You're Joe.
No, I'm not Joe. My name is Grover Cleveland Steamer.
That's stupid.
That's my podcast name.
That's a dumb name.
Grover Cleveland Steamer.
That's a stupid, dumb name.
Well, that's from the president podcast, so I have to be...
You have to have a crossover. You're doing like a Laverne and Shirley Jefferson's kind
of
thing.
So this is like when...
Jefferson's was on Archie Bunker, weren't they?
Yeah, this is like when Balky from Perfect Strangers showed up on Family Matters and slapped Urkel.
It didn't happen.
It might have happened.
Nope.
Some of those crossed over. They had crossovers in the 90s, didn't they?
Joni Loves Chachi? No, that was the 80s, wasn't it? After watching TV.
Well, here's the thing. In 1990, we were in high school, and in high school, you stop watching television.
I stopped watching
wrestling. You don't watch TV. You're so self-absorbed and absorbed with your friends and what you're doing. You're going out and going to dances.
I did watch The Simpsons.
You're going barfing.
Watched Seinfeld in the 90s. And Saturday Night Live, of course.
Yeah, I think we would watch Saturday Night Live. But we'd go out with a video camera and take our shirts off and go to McDonald's.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we were doing in high school. That's what people did. So anyway, what's your podcast name going to be?
I don't know. I need like a pinup name, like one of those girls would have.
Do you think it could be like a first lady's
Ruby?
Name? How about like a first lady, but change to make it vulgar, like Grover Cleveland Steamer?
No, I'm not doing that. I'll be Ruby.
Ruby?
It's weird to go by a different name.
You want to go by Chow Young Fat?
You can just call me Amy. It'll be fine.
That's stupid. I'm Grover Cleveland Steamer. You can't be Amy.
Well, that's my name, though.
Yeah, but if you don't want to use your last name, why don't you use your first name?
First names are anonymous.
Yeah, but if this picks up steam...
It's not going to.
It could.
No, what difference does it have?
This is going to pick up some steam.
No, this is not going to pick up any.
It's already picking up steam. Don't you feel the steam?
No, there's no steam at
Cleveland
all.
Cleveland Steamer.
I don't know. There's nothing to do with the 90s.
How about... We'll just call you Ruby.
All right.
All right, Rube.
Don't call me that.
Ruby. Ruby and Grover.
Okay. That's fine.
Grover Cleveland Steamer.
All right.
Could you say it once, maybe?
I'm not doing that.
Please?
We're not Gundet.
Grover Cleveland Steamer.
Was that 1990 when he said, not Gundet?
Not Gundet.
Who was it?
Might have been close to then. Okay. Welcome to American Timelines.
Let's
try it again. Welcome to American Timelines.
That's bad, too.
I'll say American, you say Timelines.
No, that's stupid.
You say it all.
Welcome to American Timelines. I'm Amy.
And I'm Grover Cleveland Steamer.
No, that's Joe.
I don't want to be Grover Cleveland Steamer.
That's stupid.
Welcome to American Timelines with Joe and Amy. Or Amy and Joe. Does it Amy and Joe sound better?
No.
Welcome to American Timelines with Grover Cleveland Steamer.
No, that's the worst one. That's the worst one.
All right, well, screw you and go to hell. Season one is about the 90s.
Yes.
This is American Timelines, where we talk about things that were popular from year to year. And crazy things that happen, and we'll do a deep dive so you can get an idea of what was happening around the world.
I'll give you a deep dive.
Deep dive each episode into something that happened that was peculiar. Maybe a murder.
Maybe.
Maybe a kidnapping.
Could be.
Maybe a fat guy taking a dump.
No, that probably won't happen.
Nope, but our first season, welcome to season one, this is the 90s.
1990.
What was happening in 1990?
The yearly inflation rate was 5.39%.
And I was a senior in high school.
You were?
Yes.
I think I was.
And a junior in high school. I was that year, junior, senior year.
Oh, so it must have been my eighth, the freshman year, I think. But boy, can you believe that 5.39% inflation rate? I mean,
I know, that's amazing.
That really takes you back.
That means something to me.
Yeah. I mean, if you really think about 5.39% inflation rate, I mean.
What else is on there?
No, that's it. Cost of a gallon of gas. This will let us know. We'll understand this.
What was it?
$1.34 a gallon.
Oh,
my God.
It's like the 70s.
It's like a whole nother dollar that you would have.
For every gallon.
Every time you get gas.
So what would that mean? Well, another $10
well,
in your
like,
pocket.
It's like...
Is it 10
It's
gallons?
Almost half the price.
Is it 10 gallons a car? Shows how stupid I am. I don't even know how 20, much...
Well, how much money do you...
25, 28 bucks or something.
28 bucks, and right now it's like 235 a
gallon. Do the math.
Divide 28 by 235.
I'm not doing that. That's ridiculous.
I'm going to get a calculator, because this is a thrilling podcast.
This is really...
Two idiots do math.
can't figure out 28 divided by 235
$28.
Don't forget the decimal.
Divided by 2.35.
And it's
$11.91.
So
like 12 gallons.
12 bucks.
There's 12 gallons to your car, maybe.
It's like 12 bucks.
So, but I drive a Prius.
So what?
So my gas is always cheaper. You, while you're putting 28 bucks in yours, guess what I'm putting? At the
your
most, 17.
Your dick in the...
Well, I put my dick in the...
Tank hole.
Tank.
Or whatever you call it.
Because it's a Prius, so you can just put your dick in there while you're putting the... It's so
well,
big
you can
of a hole.
Pee in it. And that's how it runs. It
and
run
jizz.
On pee.
Pee and jizz. Pee and jizz. And tears.
That's right. It makes sense.
And
1990.
We want a credit. We need to give credit where credit is due. Some of our info comes straight from popculture.us.
1990.
Oh, the big airplane celebrity death in 1990 was Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Oh, that was an airplane celebrity?
Yeah, airplane
so
celebrity
they,
death.
On this website, do they put...
Maybe every year.
Airplane celebrity
we'll have
death
who,
of
what
the year?
Celebrity died in an airplane.
That, I didn't know that many celebrities
oh, the pneumonia celebrity death was Jim Henson. That was the year we lost
oh,
Jim Henson. You
it didn't
remember?
Seem like it was that long ago that he died.
See, I feel like that seemed like longer ago than Stevie Ray Vaughan. I remember when Stevie Ray Vaughan died, I didn't know who he was, but I pretended I did because cool people knew who he was.
Oh, I don't need... That whole event doesn't register with me
Stevie
at all.
Ray Vaughan, do you know who he is?
Yeah, he's a jazz dude, right?
He's a guitarist. He's like an amazing
oh, that's
rock
right,
and roll
that's
guitarist.
Right.
Like he like would play like yeah. long licks and things and like and he really was good. So then what I did was because I didn't know who he was.
You went and listened to a bunch of
I had
shit.
To go like find out what he was. But now that I think about it, I don't know how I would have. I must have gone to the library because we didn't have the internet.
Yeah,
then.
You didn't have the internet. You can't just look it up on your fucking phone that's up your butt all day.
I must
long.
Have been in middle school.
Like this is fascinating to everybody here.
I think I was a freshman. Anyway, fuck you. This is tragic irony. In 1989, Michael Doucette was named America's safest driving teen. In 1990, he fell asleep at the wheel and collided with an oncoming car, killing himself and the other driver.
That's irony.
America's safest driving teen fell asleep at the wheel and killed himself.
Jeez.
In 1990, he did that.
It happened.
Also in 1990, Mr. Rogers sued the KKK for impersonating his voice in pre-recorded messages. These messages said that AIDS was divine retribution. Why does the KKK have pre-recorded messages? Is it for when you want to call the KKK?
No, I think they do robocalls to people in the Deep South.
Hi, do you have a few moments to talk to the KKK?
Well,
We'd like you to know that AIDS was divine retribution.
But they, in Mr. Rogers'
voice. We hate black
voice.
People. God, KKK.
But in Mr. Rogers'
oh,
voice.
Oh, God, I can't do his voice.
No, but I'm not saying you do it. I'm saying, imagine that. It was his
hey,
voice
everybody.
Saying
that. Hey, everybody. The KKK is a great
yeah.
thing.
You just do Don McAllister, and that's...
Hey, oh, I love that. I love that. I love the KKK.
That's Mr. Rogers.
I love
just
liver mush.
A little bit of the southern off.
I eat liver mush, and I like Barbara Streisand and the KKK.
And AIDS is God's retribution.
Oh, it's terrible. I can't even joke about that because it's such an awful thing. Anyway, these tapes were circulated among elementary and middle school children. I didn't know they were targeting. That was their target audience.
Well,
God,
that's the ones.
KKK. What a horrible, awful thing.
Yeah, that's terrible. When I was in college, they used to come to Cape Girardeau at Bardot, Missouri, where I went to college. And
that's a good
rallies.
Story. You have that story where you walked into...
Oh, yeah. I walked into a... It was called... They were called the Southern White Knights.
This is a great story.
It was... I was a... Yeah, we were supposed to go to a bonfire party, and it was a bunch of girls and two cars. And
how old were you?
This is not 1990. Maybe
no.
I should stop.
No, it's not 1990, but we'll, this,
it,
we'll never talk
I
about this
I was probably
again.
A junior in college.
Okay.
And
so you were in college at the time.
Oh, yeah. Well, we were in college, and we were driving out, and it was some guy that was from the town, and he lived way out in the boonies, and we were driving, and... We got lost, and then we saw a fire, like a bonfire. We thought that's what it was, so we pulled right up to the fire and got out and walked up and didn't recognize anybody. And one guy says,
"Do they all have hoods on?"
No, no, they had Southern White Knights written on their t-shirts.
They all had the same t-shirt.
A lot of them.
Do they look like just scumbags?
Yes,
like shitheads.
And we and the Fox. One guy said, "Where's your membership card?" And we laughed because we thought he was joking. And then the next guy says, "We're all white here," and then we realized. Oh, shit, this is the wrong party. And so we backed up, and then the worst part was, as we were walking away, I can't remember what one of them said, and one of my really drunk girlfriends yells, "Fuck you," and then they get in their car, and we get in the car that's right in front of the bonfire, and they one guy lifted up a shotgun and aimed it right at the windshield, and
oh
we
God.
Drove out, and we peeled out, but it was really scary.
And he didn't shoot?
No, he just was trying to scare us, probably.
You know, one thing I just thought about that story, that I've heard this story a lot, because I've been with Violet Ruby Tuesday, whoever. for 100 years. But I never thought about this. Those fucking idiots, like those douchebags probably never saw girls that attractive ever in their lives.
And then they ran us off.
And their first MO was like, hey, you don't belong here, you hot chicks. We're supposed to be a bunch of douchebags that hate everybody together at our sausage party. They got such low self-esteem.
Something.
God.
I don't know what's wrong with people like
that. KKK is stupid. Anyway, do you think there's a parallel universe somewhere where the KKK just like hates jelly beans and that's all they hate? Like,
it'd be, good.
Intense group that puts hoods on and it's real shameful to hate jelly beans and that.
Maybe.
Yeah.
1990.
Soul legend Curtis Mayfield was paralyzed from the neck down by falling lighting equipment while performing in New York.
Ooh, that
sucks.
Remember,
did you ever hear about that?
No,
I never heard about that. Poor guy. He continued to compose and record vocals lying down until his death in 1999.
Wow.
He recorded everything lying down. God, I spent 2 months lying down. It was terrible.
Yeah,
that poor guy.
That's crazy.
He spent 9 years laying down. Ugh.
That kind of sounds nice a little bit to me.
Well, yeah, I'd like to.
Right now.
Now that I'm so tired.
Now that children.
Kids, you got to do the leaves.
It kind of sounds like something I'd want to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I could do it now. All right. No, you don't want to do it. You want to be able to at least get up.
Yeah, I know.
It's really hard to shit laying down.
I've never tried.
Okay.
I didn't know you did.
1990.
Smoking was banned on all domestic flights in 1990.
Really? It was that late?
Yeah. Jim Swire, whose daughter died in the Lockerbie bombing. You remember the Lockerbie bombing?
No.
A jealous ex-boyfriend torched a Bronx social club, Happy Land, with gasoline to get revenge on his ex-girlfriend. He killed 87 people.
Oh, my God. I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, we should talk about this. That was the deadliest fire in New York City since the 1911 Triangle Shirtwaist Factory fire. Yeah, that's a big thing that's changed. We would have all known about that.
Yeah, we would have.
The internet was around, that's social true. Media. That's Everyone true. Would know about that happening.
Yep, that's right. You'd hear about it every minute of the day.
Maybe that's what our podcast is. We tell people about everything that happened before the internet.
Before the internet.
You would have known for a day. Yeah. Like for an hour, you would have been like, oh my God, can you believe that? Holy shit, fuck that.
And then you would never think of it again.
Yeah, and then an hour later, you wouldn't know. But you would have known at one point.
Yeah, that's right. And back then, you didn't know.
You didn't hear about it. No. Shit. You didn't give
a shit.
Unless
you read the newspaper cover to cover like an old person.
Yeah. My stepdad knew what happened.
Yeah, that's right.
That's it.
That's right. He did.
And then he'd be like, he'd have nobody to talk to about all this knowledge he had.
Yeah,
and then
right.
So he would just be randomly saying things that nobody cares about. Shit, maybe he was really a genius. He just was super aware of everything.
I wouldn't go that far.
He just,
he was the gas price.
You know what they want for gas down at the Shell at the corner? Yep. Well, right now the Shell's a $2.43, but you know what the Speedway across the street is? Yeah, $2.45.
Those are riveting conversations.
What do they want for gas down there? And that's the thing. We spend so much time worried about gas prices, and even when they're a lot lower, it's only a
couple
buck.
Cents.
It's like a buck.
Yeah.
Maybe a dollar you saved altogether.
Yeah. But remember, I mean, people are crazy about it.
1990.
This will be a good one for you. You remember this. Also in 1990, rocker Chuck Berry was accused and sued by several women who claimed
he had installed
a video camera in the ladies' bathrooms at two of his St. Louis restaurants.
That's right. I remember that.
St. Charles, actually,
is where his restaurant was.
St. Charles, is that a suburb?
Suburb. And I remember. We heard all about that. He was peeking in the ladies.
Now, that's something I didn't know until I met you.
That's right.
Because, again, the internet wasn't around, and nobody would know of it. So that's cool. So you remember that happening. So you do remember hearing about that?
Oh, yeah.
And being
it was a big deal.
You were in high school?
St. Louis, yeah.
You remember being in high school and hearing about
that?
It was
a big joke.
Really?
Yeah. And then we would call, like, if somebody accidentally walked in on somebody else going to the bathroom, you'd call him, get out of here, Chuck Berry. It was like a big
I'm going to start saying that to people. Because I still don't think, there's not a lot of people.
People just think you're
across
weird.
The country that know that happened too, because I've told people. That
I like to
know
do that to strangers that accidentally open the stall.
Get out of here, Chuck Berry.
Get out of here, Chuck Berry.
They probably just think you're insane.
I know.
Jeez, I didn't know this happened. Is this a British website?
Maybe.
A British sitcom aired called "Heil, Honey, I'm Home" about Hitler and Eva who live next to a Jewish couple.
Oh God!
It was canceled after one episode.
I guess so.
I can't believe that.
Heil, honey, I'm home.
Heil, honey.
Heil, honey.
Heil, honey.
Heil, honey.
Hello,
I'm home.
Heil, honey.
Heil,
honey. Because I'm home. Gee, it's great to be Top Gun, but it's nothing like the fun that I get when I say, Heil, honey, I am home.
Heil, honey.
Heil,
honey.
Smile, honey.
Gee, it's great to be back. Kyle, honey, I'm home.
What did I do now? Oh, tonight you were making schnitzel. What a jerk. You must be real mad at me, honey. I'm a very, very bad Hitler.
We checked in with area man Rich Helland, and he did a little research on Heil, Honey, I'm Home, and here's what he said.
You know, of the 12 Hitler sitcoms scheduled to air in the early 90s, this one was the best. It had the most going for it. Little known fact, it was also the original premise for Friends. So there you go.
Okay.
That's Rich. Yeah, that thank you, Rich, for your report.
That's important information. I can't believe we live without that.
Yeah, thank you, Rich, and we'll check in with you in on the 1991 episode. Thank you, Rich.
1990.
Oh, gosh.
What are you reacting
Sammy
to?
Sammy Davis Jr. died in 1990.
Are you shocked?
I didn't remember him dying then.
Did you not know he was dead?
He owed back taxes.
It was a.
I knew he was dead now, but.
But you acted like that was like you didn't know he was
dude,
dead.
Dude, listen to this. He died in 1990, and then his widow discovered that he was nearly broke and owed a bunch of back taxes.
Oh, shit.
She then had his body exhumed to strip him of the $70,000 worth of jewelry he was buried with.
I didn't know that happened.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
And he was survived by his mother and his grandmother.
They buried him like a pharaoh. $70,000 in jewelry? Yeah. Why would you bury all that?
Because it's Sammy Davis, baby.
I know, but he's dead.
Bury me with my jewelry, baby.
He's a dead body.
It was probably up his ass.
All of it.
Put it up my ass and bury me, baby. He was 64, and his mom was still alive, and his grandmother when he died.
Jesus.
His mom was 85, and his grandmother was 110.
Oh, my God.
Put the jewelry up my ass, baby. Is that a good Sammy Davis?
No, not really.
See, really, if I did Sammy Davis, I'd just be doing Billy Crystal Sammy Davis.
Right, exactly.
Anyway. Hey, baby. I can't.
That does,
hey,
that,
baby.
I know, it's
the, hey, baby. Hey, Sammy Davis. Yeah.
It's not even close.
Hey, man.
All right.
Sorry.
1990.
There was an anti-drug PSA in 1990 called Cartoon All-Stars to the Rescue. It was about Bugs Bunny, Kermit the Frog, Slimer, Garfield, the Chipmunks, Michelangelo from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Alf, and other cartoons scaring a 14-year-old marijuana addict. It aired all around the globe.
Oh, my God. That's so nerdy.
I don't remember that, and I want to see that.
That is so nerdy.
I want to watch that nostalgia.
Like, what kind of ad execs or whoever is in a room, and they're thinking,
who are the ad wizards that came up with that one?
Yeah. This is all the 14-year-olds are going to be nervous about drugs now.
I made our daughter watch it today.
Oh, yeah? What did she do?
Yeah, I made her watch the whole thing. Without further ado, here's Audrey's summation of the Cartoon All-Stars PSA. We're here with Audrey Rose. Hi, Audrey.
Hey.
I understand you just watched the Cartoon All-Stars from 1990 video.
Yeah, that was pretty far back.
Do you remember who was at the beginning of it introducing the video?
No.
You don't remember that? It was George Herbert Walker Bush.
George W. Bush.
No, his dad, George H.W. Bush and Barbara Bush. You remember what they said at the beginning?
Here's like the All-Stars cartoons. Never do drugs!
Yes, and they said stay away from drugs and alcohol.
Yeah.
You know what's ironic about that is while they were saying that, their son, who was going to be the president, was probably drunk and on drugs somewhere. He did a lot of cocaine.
Seriously?
Yeah. So, what did you think of the video overall?
It was pretty good. I mean, like, the graphics were pretty bad, but, like, overall, I would give it a 5.
What was the moral of the story?
Never do drugs.
What kind of drugs?
Crack and beer and cigarettes.
Crack, beer, and cigarettes?
Yes, basically.
Those were the bad drugs?
Yeah, that's basically what they mentioned. They mentioned all those three thingies.
But marijuana's okay, right?
I don't even know what that is, but...
Oh, okay, good.
But if it's a drug, then don't do it.
Okay. What about cough syrup?
That's fine. It's cough.
Okay, but a lot of it?
No, not really. A lot. Only if you're like...
What about huffing glue? Do you know what whippets are?
No.
Okay, good. So the in the cartoon, there was a cartoon boy, and he was doing crack and beer, and he was stealing his sister's
money. Yes.
And who saved the day?
Bugs Bunny. One of the chipmunks.
Yeah.
This elf alien guy. Garfield.
Alf used to be a Muppet that ate cats, and then they made a cartoon of it.
Garfield. And then there was Winnie the Pooh.
Winnie the Pooh told you to not do crack?
Yeah, Tigger.
Overall, do you think it'll stop you from doing crack?
Yeah, but I never did crack.
Is anybody in your school doing crack right now?
Nope.
What about beer?
Yeah.
Anybody drink beer in your class?
Okay, here's a tiny, tiny bit of a recap. One time in the summer, my daddy, he was in the pool laying on like this cot thingy. I don't know. And he asked me to go get him a bottle of beer. So,
great.
So I did. And I asked my mom if I could open it for him before I did it. And so she let me. So I just opened it. And then when I got out, I asked my daddy if I could have just like one sip because I never tried beer before. I just want one sip, just one sip. And he's like, okay, fine, but only one sip. And I don't think you'll like it. And then I was like, okay. And then I tried it and I literally spit it out like everywhere. I hated beer. Beer is so disgusting. Never try beer, kids. Never try beer. So disgusting.
And so now you'll never try it again, right?
Nope.
Because you know it's terrible.
Yes.
So I'm a great father. You have anything else to say about the year 1990?
That was a long time ago.
What do you think was going on in 1990?
People still had carriages. Horse carriages.
You think?
Yes.
So you don't think cars were invented yet?
And that was Audrey Rose. Thank you, Audrey. We appreciate your insight and your summary of that video. And she also made us feel incredibly old. In the video, the kid was addicted to crack. And
oh, my God.
the 14-year-old cartoon character was smoking crack and drinking beer. And he stole
I heard her watching that earlier. Yeah, that baby is smoking.
It's like a baby smoking. And it was like a ghost of... It was really weird. It's like Kermit the Frog and Miss Piggy went into his brain.
Oh, my God.
It was really odd and weird. And she didn't think that was that weird, I guess.
1990.
The first rap single to reach number one in the U.S. was in 1990.
What was it?
You're never going to guess what the first rap single to reach number one in the U.S.
was.
I don't know what chart
Wild Thing and stuff considered rap?
Yeah.
So and it's this probably one, Funky Cold Medina or something.
This one's a little worse. This one's probably the worst rap song ever.
Ice Ice Baby,
it is.
Is it?
Ding, 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 ding. That's so sad. That's racist right there. Rap single is a white guy.
I can't. I always think of Jim Carrey doing white. Baby. Remember that?
Was that him that did that?
Yeah, it was.
Living Color?
Yeah, it was him. And it was hysterical. It was back when he was funny.
Before he got crazy. He was crazy.
He is crazy.
1990.
Oh, May 17th, 1990. The World Health Organization no longer listed homosexuality as a mental illness.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. 1990. Liberating.
1990?
Yeah, that's great.
So it was still considered a mental illness when I was in high school?
Yes.
Wow. That's terrible.
So... Some of our best friends were considered insane and mentally ill.
Yeah.
Until 1990.
Let's name them all right now.
Should we out everyone?
No.
Because maybe that'll be our next podcast. It'll be
a list of people we think might be gay. Who we think might be gay.
Out them in case they are.
Yeah.
And then we can always just do retractions in the next episode. Okay.
Apologies.
Anyway, we all agree it's fucking ridiculous that homosexuality was ever considered a mental illness, and it's sad. It's really sad about the state of our society. And
well, we're better.
Everybody.
We're better now. Wait a minute.
Are we?
No.
Are we better?
Yeah, I take that back.
Are we?
Yeah, it's sad.
We're literally living in hell.
Yeah, we are. That's true.
This is hell. We live in hell.
1990.
Oh, the World Wide Web Internet Protocol and WWW language were created in 1990.
Wow.
Ooh. ABC aired 11 episodes of an ill-fated police drama presented as a musical.
Oh, Cop Rock.
Cop Rock.
Yep.
TV Guide dubbed it the single most bizarre TV musical of all time.
They should redo that.
Yeah, I'm sure they will.
Yeah,
as soon as they hear this podcast.
That's right.
Dude, cost of a Super Bowl ad in 1990, $700,000.
Now it's millions, right?
The cost of a Super Bowl ad in 2018
Yes.
Could exceed $5 million.
$5 million.
$5 million. Wow. So that's really...
It's a big difference there.
That's crazy.
Yep.
1990.
Ken Griffey Jr. played with his dad during the MLB season of 1990, and in one game, Senior and Junior hit back-to-back home runs. Ken Griffey Senior and Ken Griffey Junior, a father and son playing on the same team, and they hit back-to-back home runs. That's crazy shit. You can't sleep through that.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
God damn.
Sports just makes me go to sleep.
A father and a son playing on the same team? The cool people were watching Twin Peaks on ABC, and everybody was watching Macaulay Culkin and Home Alone.
I've never seen Home Alone. Believe that?
You haven't?
No, nope.
I haven't either.
And I never saw Twin Peaks either.
Me neither.
It's supposed to be good.
We were busy getting trim in 1990.
No, it's supposed to be good, the Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
No?
I don't know. If you're fucking think you're better than everybody. McDonald's switched to vegetable oil from beef fat in 1990.
Yeah, they used to spray everything in beef tallow. Like, even the fruit pies.
Oh. During the first Gulf War in 1990... NBC delayed the start time to the Tonight Show by 5 minutes to give their affiliates more time to cover the Gulf War. Once local stations had those five precious minutes, they never gave them back. This is why all late night shows in the U.S. start at 11:35.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
I wondered why that they did that.
Mm-hmm.
1990's
most popular Christmas gifts. Bob Mackie Barbie. What's a Bob Mackie Barbie?
Oh, yeah.
Barbie?
I remember that.
Who's Bob Mackie?
He's a designer. And they came out with Bob Mackie Barbies, and they had these beautiful...
So they're not Barbies of him.
No.
Like some guy named Bob. Like little girls played with a guy named Bob.
No, no. They had beautiful Bob Mackie gowns on.
Not Barb Mackie?
No. No. And it wasn't a wasn't Barbie a guy doll.
A guy. A guy with a beard. No. I'm Bob Mackie. Yeah. Play with my doll. Taboo. That's when Taboo came out.
Oh,
I remember when that first
yeah,
came out.
Yeah, I do too.
Super Mario World video game. The popular movies were Arachnophobia.
Yep.
Remember that?
Yep.
Dances with Wolves, which my cousin Jake says that's a damn good movie. In fact, you can't have a conversation with my cousin Jake that doesn't involve Dances with Wolves. He always brings it back
to Dances with
Wolves.
It's all right. I liked it a lot when I first saw it, but I was in high school.
I never saw it.
But now I have more of a critical eye. I'm like, eh.
It's Kevin Costner, right?
Kevin Costner,
can't be that good.
I know.
That guy sucks.
Yeah.
He's like, why was he so popular for a while?
Because he was dreamy, supposedly.
He was,
I never thought
he looked like a.
I never thought he was. I never thought he was good looking at all. But
like that whole who would ever believe that Whitney Houston would want to bang him during The Bodyguard? He's just a douchebag. Like he's just like.
What was the movie that got him famous? What movie got him famous?
Waterworld.
No.
Elliot, where he played Elliot Ness, The Untouchables.
No,
maybe?
It was before that. There was one big.
Google it.
Blockbuster that made him famous, and now I can't remember what it was.
Bull Durham, Field of Dreams.
Bull Durham, I think it was. Yeah, Bull Durham.
Bull Durham, yeah. And Field of Dreams
came out right after that, and that was everybody crazy about
that. That's right. Yeah, I should have known those. Yeah. Anyway, back to 1990, Days of Thunder.
Oh, that was so stupid.
Filmed here in Charlotte, I think. Die Hard 2, Die Harder. Dick Tracy, that was awful. Edward Scissorhands.
Oh, that was a good one.
Did you still think he was dreaming in that?
I think I worked at that movie theater in 1990 because a lot of these... I remember seeing Dick Tracy there. Was Batman in 1990?
Ghost.
Must have been maybe 89 was Batman.
Home Alone. Misery, Presumed Innocent, Pretty
Misery's
Woman.
Misery's a good one.
Problem Child. I remember when Pretty Woman came out. That was a big
deal. Yeah, it was a big deal.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. That movie was cool. Now, Ghost... I had to go see Ghost with a girl in high school that I was dating.
I don't want to hear this story.
And man, one thing led to
Stop
another.
It.
No.
Stop it.
No, but I was very disappointed because and I remember making this joke to the person at the movie place and not one person except for me thought it was funny. And I was like,
and you're going to tell it now.
Yeah. I was like, is this Ghost Dad?
Oh.
I want to see Ghost Dad.
And nobody got it.
And everybody's just like, no, it's Ghost.
That's not a funny joke anymore.
Yeah, because Bill Cosby rapes people.
That's right.
But I do think that made me realize that I need to break up with a girl I'm with right now because...
She didn't laugh at your ghost
dad. All the people
joke.
I was with, like, they didn't think that was funny that I would rather see Ghost Dad than Ghost. Ghost was pretty stupid.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, I like the part where he's learning to make things
move and stuff, but...
And that guy was like, get off my train!
Yeah, that guy was cool.
The best of that guy.
That actor's awesome.
Yeah, that guy is awesome. There was a guy who looked like that at our
it was
when we worked.
Scary
at,
looking.
We worked at the airport. You know, we had all these things. All the forklift drivers were crazy people. There was a guy And I didn't realize he looked like that guy. Everybody called him Skeletor.
Yeah.
Because he's just the ugliest fucking dude you ever see. But my friend Bill Rixey was like, you know who he looks like, Joe? You know who he looks like? I was like, who? He's like, he looks like, get off my train!
And you were like, yeah, totally.
And then he would just say, get off my train on it. So every time that guy would go by, Bill would go, get off my train! Like,
every I didn't time. Know what he was talking
Nobody
about.
Nobody had any idea except me and Bill. And I would just crack funny. Up. Ah, Bill Rixey, I miss that guy.
1990.
The most popular television shows, 1 to 10, were number 1, Cheers. Great.
Yes.
Best show ever. 60 Minutes for the old people.
Yep.
Roseanne.
Oh, I love Roseanne.
Yep. A Different World. The Cosby Show. I used to love A Different World. Didn't you? Dwayne Wayne.
It was all right.
Watch that. I got a pair of his glasses that flipped up. They had them in a cereal box.
You could
get them in a cereal box, and I wore them. Murphy Brown. Empty Nest. America's Funniest Home Videos was big then. Henry would have loved this time. The Golden Girls was number 9.
You would have loved this time, too.
Yeah, goddamn, I love the fucking Blanche. She's so fucking hot.
All right, keep going.
God, I want some Blanche.
Stop it.
Blanche. But Betty White was hot,
She too. Was really the prettiest one.
She was pretty. I would bang Betty White right
Blanche
now.
Kind of looked like somebody hit her in the face with a frying pan.
I'd still
hate
it.
A little bit.
You know, honestly, I'd do Bea Arthur.
Well, Bea Arthur's all right. She's no Eileen Wuornos.
That's true. Speaking of Eileen Wuornos, that's a good segue.
Yeah.
Oh, here's bands. Aerosmith, Al B. Schur, Babyface, Bell Biv DeVoe.
Oh, I love
Bobby
Bell
Brown.
Biv DeVoe.
Bell Biv DeVoe was the best. Depeche Mode, En Vogue,
Hate
Heart.
Depeche Mode.
Janet Jackson, Johnny Gill, Keith Sweat, Lenny Kravitz, Lisa Stansfield, Luther Vandross, Madonna, Mariah Carey, MC Hammer, Michael Bolton, Michael Jackson, Motley Crue, New Kids on the Block. Motley Crue I was a big fan of. Pebbles, Phil Collins. Pebbles, remember Pebbles?
Yes.
Do you want to ride in my Mercedes?
Oh, is that her?
Right.
I thought that was Taylor Dane or someone.
I think it was Pebbles.
Oh, was it?
Her biggest singles were Girlfriend.
That was it.
Do you ever think you're so bad? But Mercedes Boy also was her in 1988.
Oh, it was.
Do you want to ride in my Mercedes, boy? It was 88.
Oh.
The song in 1990 she had that was really big was Giving You the Benefit of the Doubt.
I remember that.
Giving it a minute.
Yeah, that's about all I remember about that song.
Giving You the Benefit. Stevie B. You remember Stevie B?
No.
Oh, he sang, this is so embarrassing, My First Girlfriend Ever, this was our song.
God.
It was because you just picked a song. Yeah. I didn't know there was a song until I started dating. Yeah, this is our song. Is always on the radio. Because I love
Oh, I hate that song.
You.
I hate that
My heart's
song.
An All right. Door.
I hate that song.
Yeah, I do too. But I thought I was supposed to like it because the girl told me I was supposed to.
Oh, it's such a horrible song.
Taylor Dane, Tony.
Yep.
Tony.
Tony have done it again.
Whitney Houston, Wilson Phillips. Those are the big ones.
Yeah.
Yes, but speaking of Wilson Phillips, Eileen Wuornos.
It's a better segue than mine.
I'll just edit yours back into this time.
Okay, so in 1990, the true crime or bizarre event that I chose was Eileen Wuornos' rampage of murder through Florida. Eileen Wuornos was arrested at the Lake Resort Bar in Port Orange, Florida, in January 1991.
91 she was arrested, but she did all this in 1990.
Yes, that's right.
You'll remember Eileen Wuornos, Charlize Theron.
And Monster.
Played her in Monster, the movie
and
Monster.
And she still looked hot, even though she was...
Charlize Theron, she did a great job of looking terrible.
But she still... They could have got somebody...
I mean, Charlize Theron is Theron.
They
should have
had somebody... They should have had somebody play her who was...
That's the thing.
Like, tons of actors.
Already in Hollywood, all the pretty people get all the roles. Couldn't you give one... role is a butt-ugly person.
Yeah,
can't you get one of the less fortunate-looking people a
exactly.
job?
Exactly. That's what I say.
That's a good point.
You know?
Jeez.
So anyway,
you have to give a beautiful person that one, too.
You know what? So,
shit.
1990.
Eileen Wuornos, a stocky, straggly-haired woman with desperate eyes and a foul mouth, didn't hesitate to tell judge and jury exactly what she thought of them when she appeared in court.
Boom.
And she had lived in motels and rented rooms and on the streets among Florida's drifters and earned her living as a prostitute along the interstate highway. And in late 1989, she killed one of the men who picked her up and over the next year killed at least 5 more.
It was one of the men that picked her up for prostitution.
Yeah, and she always claimed it was rape.
That first one was
a rape. Sometimes she was called a man-hating lesbian killer, America's first female serial killer, or a feminist hero who murdered in self-defense. All right, so she grew up in Troy, Michigan.
Troy, Michigan, not far from Toledo,
that's
where
right.
I'm from.
Her mother abandoned her as an infant, and her father committed suicide while serving a prison sentence for child molestation.
Oh,
so that's a great way to start your life.
Yeah.
As an adolescent, she lived for a time in the woods at the end of her street. So
oh
she
God.
Was she moved in with her grandparents.
Oh, her grandma. I was like, didn't she go to an orphanage or
and
something?
And her grandpa, she said she claimed he molested her too.
He probably did.
And that she left and moved into the woods behind her husband. Like, lived in the woods, but she still went to school and stuff.
So here's a child that just, you can imagine how much she was made fun of and picked on.
Well, she was, because then she would give sexual favors for cigarettes in the woods to other to boys. In the neighborhood.
Wait, who hasn't given sexual favors for cigarettes in the woods?
It's true. Jeb Bush put her to death.
Jeb Bush from Florida.
He was the governor at the time. This woman, Mrs. Jenkins, began writing to Warnos in early 2002.
While she was in jail.
And ended up, and she was this born-again Christian lady, and she ended up adopting her. As her daughter.
Oh, really?
And so on the night before she was executed, she gave us her blessing to look at her letters, Mrs. Jenkins said. That's how Charlize Theron got it, I guess, into her mind for the part. But anyway, let me go back to her.
She read the letters?
She read these letters that she did. All right. So she was exchanging sexual activities in school in exchange for cigarettes, drugs, and food. And she also engaged in sexual activities with her brother. She had a brother.
Mm.
She said her alcoholic grandfather sexually assaulted and beat her when she was a child. In 1970, at the age of 14, she became pregnant, gave birth to a boy at home for unwed mothers in 1971. So there's somebody out there that's 1 year older than me.
Her son.
That is her son, which is always weird to think. She gave it up for adoption.
This was in Michigan?
Yeah. And so a few months after her son was born, she dropped out of school at about the same time that her grandmother died of liver failure. When she was 15, her grandfather threw her out of the house, and she started becoming a prostitute and living in the woods near her old home. In 1974, when she was 18, she was arrested for a DUI, disorderly conduct, and firing a .22 caliber pistol from a moving vehicle.
She probably had to do that.
She was having a fun night, shooting out the car window.
Yeah, whatever situation. I mean, if you're living in the woods and you're 18 and you're drunk, you probably need to shoot somebody.
Well, then in 76, she hitchhiked to Florida, where she met 69-year-old yacht club president Louis Gratz Fell, and they married that same year.
She married a yacht club president?
69-year-old yacht club when she was, like, 18. And announcement of their nuptials was printed in the local newspaper society pages. However, she continually involved herself in confrontations at their local bar and eventually went to jail for assault. She also hit Fell with his own cane, leading him to get a restraining order against her. This is a real classy couple.
Now, yacht clubs, you think about it, like, what yacht club president is going to marry? Like, yachts are kind of...
15-year-old prostitute.
Aren't yachts kind of like white trash with money?
Yeah, kind of.
Thing? Like, they're still trashy and the
I mean, I think it's
people.
Different culture, though, if you live in California or something.
In
like,
Florida.
You're thinking of the Great Lakes yachts. Like, you're thinking...
No, I'm thinking of Florida. Like,
oh,
I went
true.
Down there
Florida.
For Jimmy's
yeah.
wedding and...
Yeah, it's-
It was
trashy.
On the docks, and there was all these big boats, mm-hmm. but all the people, they had money, but they were like white trash
yeah,
with money.
Yeah, exactly. In 1976, she returned to Michigan. She was arrested there, charged with assault and disturbing the peace for throwing a cue ball at a bartender's head. And
so she went back to Michigan.
Yes, then she went back to Michigan. After the divorce.
But and nobody's dead yet.
Nobody's dead yet. On July 17th, her brother Keith died of esophageal cancer, and she received $10,000 from his life insurance.
That's the brother that she banged?
Yeah. Her and the old man annulled their marriage July 21st after only 9 weeks. In August 76, she was given a $105 fine for drunk driving. She used Keith's inheritance money to pay the fine and spent the rest within 2 months
Keith.
By using it to buy luxuries, including a new car, which she wrecked shortly afterwards.
Keith's great.
In 1981, she was arrested in Edgewater, Florida for armed robbery of a convenience store where she stole $35 and two packs of cigarettes. So she started out as a robber.
What year was this?
That was in 81.
So she was back in Florida again.
Yep.
So she must have just went back and forth
yeah.
all the time.
She was sent to prison in 82 and released in June of 83. In May of 84, she was arrested for attempting to pass forged checks at a bank in Key West.
Poor Eileen.
In November 85, she was named as a suspect in the theft of a revolver and ammunition in Pasco County.
That was about the time when Hulk Hogan was winning the world championship. 1985 WrestleMania 1. He beat the Iron Sheik.
I'm glad that I know that now. January of 86, she was arrested in Miami and charged with car theft, resisting arrest, and obstruction of justice. They found a .38 caliber revolver and a box of ammo in her car, in the stolen car. So she keeps doing all this stuff.
Gosh, her whole life was just that. Life of crime.
Around this time, she met Tyria Moore, a hotel maid at Daytona Gay Bar.
Tyria Moore?
Remember that Christina Ricci character?
Yeah, I don't remember.
They
the
moved
movie
in
all,
together.
A picture of her.
And Warno supported them with their earnings as a sex worker. Yeah, the real Tyria Moore looks nothing like Christina Ricci.
Does she look hotter?
She's a big, chunky lesbian.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think anybody say that.
Daytona Beach police detained Warnos and Moore at a bar for questioning regarding an incident in which they were accused of assault and battery with a beer bottle. So she keeps getting in trouble with the law. Then, Richard Mallory was the first murder. He was a electronics store owner and in Palm Harbor, where his strip mall TV VCR repair shop was.
Yeah, it was a TV VCR
repair shop.
Yeah, that's always.
And he was absent from work all the time without explanation. He had kind of a erratic lifestyle, I guess.
Do you think most women grow up aspiring to marry a TV
that. Yes.
VCR
oh, yeah.
repairman?
Well, he had a mustache too.
He had a mustache.
He did. He was divorcee and he was
out.
A regular customer at Topless Bars yeah. in Tampa and Clearwater.
That surprises me that a guy who owns a TV VCR repair
and all the hookers,
mustache.
All the hookers and strippers knew him by name.
The hookers? I know a guy like that from high school.
But he had spent 10 years in a Maryland prison for a sexual assault.
We're really talking about this guy really probably deserved it.
No, let's not say that. Nobody okay. deserves to be murdered.
No, I don't know, but let's just say he might have done something wrong.
He might have.
He was sketch.
Right. So he, on the evening of November 30th, he closed up his TV repair shop and he drove home and...
This was 1989, right? Leading into 1990?
Yes.
November 30th,
yes.
1989. Cause that,
yes.
That same night, the Cosby Show was on and the specific episode was called Grampy and Nunu Visit the Huxtables. Tempers flare when Denise's in-laws visit the Huxtable clan, and her mother-in-law was played by jazz singer Nancy Wilson. That was on TV the night this happened.
I'm so glad that 1990 is not here anymore. So then Eileen was hitchhiking, and a couple people had dropped her off, and it was raining. She was under an overpass, and he spotted her, and he slowed down, and she got in the car, and they chatted, and got some beer.
You know what was probably on the radio on that November 30th, 1989?
You're going to tell me, I have a feeling.
Blame It on the Rain by Millie Vanilli.
So that is very...
she's under an overpass and she
and
gets into
and
a car.
She's blaming it on the rain.
Blame it on the rain. And there's rain.
She was blaming it on the
That's
rain.
That's exactly... It's so perfect.
He probably had it on the radio when she pulled
it. He probably had it jamming. He was probably just jamming Blame It on the Rain.
So they got some beer and at around 5 a.m. he started... He brought up that maybe they should, you know, do it. And so he pulls up the road into the woods, and they kind of make out, I guess, a little bit or something. And then the charges stated that she pulled out a .22 and started firing at him. She always said it was in self-defense. But
do you think at any time during their confrontation, either one of them mentioned that 5 days earlier, Hulk Hogan had just defended his world title against the genius Lanny Poffo?
I doubt it. I really doubt that. So anyway, she shot him a few times. He didn't die immediately. One of the bullets punctured his lung. And for about 15 minutes, he struggled for life while she watched him die, basically.
Blood gurgling in his throat.
Yep. Then the following day, his car was found in Ormond Beach. And then nearby, they found his wallet and his driver's license, credit cards that were expired, two plastic tumblers, and a half-empty bottle of vodka. This was a classy night.
You'd think she would take the rest of the vodka with her.
And then the driver's seat of his car was pushed way forward.
So it's obvious a woman was driving.
Somebody's
she was
a lot
real
shorter.
Short.
Yeah, she was.
She was real short, even for a woman,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. And then two dudes who are scavenging for some scrap metal, as you do, were...
Award-winning dudes.
They found his body on Wednesday, December 13th, 1989, 5 miles from where his car was found. It was skeletonized from the collarbone to the top of the head.
Oh.
I don't know why just that part was skeletonized. That's kind of weird to me.
Because maybe that was all that was exposed. Maybe it was all like under...
It was laying under a clothes. Piece of cardboard with only his fingers showing. And it was fully dressed in jeans and a pullover.
It was fully dressed.
Yep, and
but
some,
the head was exposed.
And some dentures were laying next to the body.
Gosh.
So
they must have just fallen out as he decomposed.
They had to remove his hands and transport them to the crime lab to identify him because you can't fingerprint a body that decomposed. So they had to take his hands off to do that, which is something I don't think about when I think about that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you wouldn't unless you watch Forensic Files.
Which, yeah, Then the next murder was David Spears. He was a 47-year-old construction worker.
We think this first murder really just changed, like that changed things in her probably, don't you think? Like that just opened the floodgates.
I think she was hammered.
You think?
And mad and angry at the world and just decided to say, fuck you, and just...
Yeah.
It was just, I think she was probably teetering on the edge before that, you know?
That's like, the first, but that, that was that murder an
opportunity, and then she got the taste for it kind of thing.
Open the floodgates.
So this guy, David Spears, this construction worker, on Saturday, May 19th, 1990.
Which during that time, Madonna's Vogue was the number one song.
Oh, yeah, I love that. He left work at 2:10 and was never seen alive again. Hmm. He spotted her hitchhiking again, offered her a ride. Hmm. They ended up pulling into the woods, which was... the same thing as the last one. Then his truck was found abandoned on May 20th. And that's before, all we really know about that.
His truck was abandoned on May 20th. Before that happened, that night that this happened, he could have just been home watching ABC because it was airing the 10th episode of the Elvis series.
Okay.
Do you remember the Elvis series?
I have no memory of that.
Yeah, that was a series and in May 19th, 1990. So just to give folks an idea... this was happening during that. If you remember that, that's when this happened.
So then...
timelines.
A blonde hair was found on the steering wheel and a ripped condom packet was found on the floor of the vehicle.
Gross.
All his personal property was missing. The driver's seat, again, pulled too close to the steering wheel. On June 1st, a man found the body lying in a clearing past a dump site. You guys, the moral of the story is don't go... Don't go searching for scrap metal and don't go around dump sites like strolling because you're going to find a dead body.
You know what we should do is interview people that just look for scrap metal and see how many dead bodies they found.
They probably found a lot.
Didn't you know a guy that did that a lot? He's the scrap metal guy?
No.
He had a metal detector and Henry was all excited.
Oh, he just had a metal detector. He didn't go around scrap metal dump sites.
Who was that?
Steve Green.
We need to call him and find out how many dead bodies he's found.
1990.
The body was badly decomposed, of course, and it was naked except for a camouflage baseball cap. And then on the ground was littered with beer cans again.
You know, this was, while that was probably happening, that murder, Ric Flair was fighting Lex Luger in a steel cage.
That's probably right.
And
sounds about right.
Yeah, and the Four Horsemen all jumped into the ring and triple-teamed Lex Luger. And it was despicable, but not as despicable as this murder.
No, that's true. And then the next one, Charles Karskadon, was a 40-year-old road digger and part-time rodeo rider. And he was on his way from his mother's home to pick up his fiance in Tampa. On June 6th, his body was found off the highway. The corpse was covered with grass and foliage and covered in a green electric blanket. I remember those. My mom still uses one of those.
An electric blanket. The green one.
That's like, who thought that was a good idea?
It can't be good, right?
I mean, let's electrify something we're going to sleep
on.
It's
like sleeping with a bunch of extension cords on top of you.
It is.
This guy, he was doing what to his mom? He was coming back from his mom's house? And he was a part-time rodeo worker?
A part-time rodeo worker. And he was on his way from his mother's home to pick up his fiance in Tampa.
I bet she was hot.
And on June 6th, his body was found off the highway.
Oh, that's when Hold On by Wilson Phillips was the number one song.
He had been shot 9 times in the chest, and his Cadillac was found the next day.
Jeez. I read where she described in court killing that guy like right away, as soon as he got in the back seat. And then after he was already dead, she was rummaging through his car.
Yeah.
And she discovered a 45 in the glove compartment.
Oh, right.
And got so pissed off that he was going to kill her, even though she already killed him. And then just... unloaded her gun into him like 7
Jeez.
More shots.
Then the next guy, Peter Seams, was 65-year-old retired merchant seaman. Early on the morning of June 7th, neighbors saw that he was a part-time missionary. And the neighbors saw him loading up his trunk with Bibles. I guess he would go around and preach the good word or whatever. In June 1990, Seams left Jupiter, Florida to go to Arkansas. So he was traveling on a road trip. That's really all we know. Then his body was found on July 4th, 1990. His car was found in Orange Springs, Florida.
On July 4th, 1990? That was a Wednesday. The same night Batman was on.
That was when they were driving it. It was a Pontiac Sunbird, and they careened off the road and smashed into some barbed wire fence and
drunk,
shattered
probably.
The windshield. Yeah. Well, these two women were sitting on a porch, and they could hear... these women screaming and cussing at each other and throwing beer cans and license plates and stuff.
Classy.
And they were, yeah. And then they went over to see if they could help, and the blonde woman was begging them not to call the police. Then they got back into the car and somehow got it back on the road with a lot of difficulty and sped off. And then they got a flat tire and they had to stop not too far down the road. And a passing motorist stopped to offer assistance and noticed that women were bleeding and very drunk. Shouldn't laugh, but you know.
I don't know why that's funny. July, yeah. They probably like, well, 4th of July.
It's 4th of July.
Celebrating
that's how we do down in Florida.
That's the same time that wrestler Brutus Beefcake was injured during parasailing accident. They shattered his face.
Oh my
and
God.
He just disappeared. Like some parasailing.
Like for
woman.
Real or
yeah,
is it part
in real
of the
life.
Show?
No, he was in a parasailing thing. Like he was supposed to be, he had this big push and he was going to be big in wrestling. And there was an accident. His face got shattered.
Oh my God.
And he was just talking about he had to stick his hands. It was in the water. He got flown 100 feet in the air into the water. His face, his bones were all shattered, and he had to take his hand and shove it into his nose and mouth to keep his face from falling apart.
Oh,
so
my
he could
God.
Breathe. And he said he didn't know how they rescued him, but now he's got all these like steel stuff in his hand. And then he came back to wrestling after a while.
Oh, my God. You're kidding.
Yeah, yeah. So he was supposed to wrestle, and he was going to win all these belts, and it was a big deal. And then he just disappeared, and nobody knew what happened.
Wow.
And it was a parasailing incident on July 4th, 1990. That
same time that they were crashing into the barbed wire and screaming and cussing at you.
Yeah, the same time. Maybe that's what they were screaming and cussing about.
No. So they get this flat tire, mm-hmm. and the guy stops, notices that they're drunk and bleeding, and Warnos asks for a ride, and the guy's like, no way. And she gets real mad at him and starts cussing at him, and he leaves, but he does call the fire department to report the injured women, and two emergency vehicles show up, but Warnos denies that that was her car. Like she's standing there drunk and bleeding, and she's like, that's not my car. I don't know what you're talking about. What car? I don't see a car.
Well, she was telling the truth. It wasn't her car.
That's true. And then at 9:44, a state trooper responded to the emergency call and found the car, and the license plates had been removed, but they used the VIN number and found that it belonged to Peter Seams, who was missing, had already known as missing.
And
so they had sketches drawn up of the two women from the witness accounts.
Yeah, but they didn't take him into custody at this time.
No, because they were gone by that time.
So at this point, the sketches were out there.
Yeah.
And this comes up later because
Tyria.
It wasn't Tyra Banks?
No, it wasn't Tyra Banks.
Tyria sees that on the TV, right?
Yes.
And ditches her.
Yes.
Okay. But that's a foreshadowing.
Then the next one, on July 30th, 1990, so later in that month, Eugene Troy Burris was a sausage salesman. He was reported missing when he didn't show up for work that day.
Oh, yeah, and his truck. They were missing a sausage truck, too.
That's right. And so at 4 o'clock a.m., it was a van. His van was found on the side of the road, and it was locked, and the keys were missing. And then a family out for a picnic in Ocala National Forest found his body, so that was a great picnic day for them.
So on Monday, July 30th, again, this guy would have been fine if he had just stayed home to watch ABC's new failed pilot called Project Tinman.
Oh,
he could have just watched that, or gone to see Problem Child was the number one movie at the time, or he could have just stayed home listening to records or the radio. Which,
they didn't have records in 1990.
That's
they
true.
Were records.
Well, he could have listened to the radio, and Mariah Carey's Vision of Love would have come on.
So these people that find his body 5 days later, and it was in a clearing about 8 miles from his van, and his wife later had to identify him by his wedding ring.
Ooh.
He was killed by two .22 caliber shots to the chest. Then Dick Humphreys was the next guy. He was a retired U.S. Air Force major. So this next guy, Dick Humphreys, retired U.S. Air Force major, a former state child abuse investigator, and a former chief of police. So that was a risky one to choose. On September 11th, 1990, he disappeared after picking up what he saw as this blonde female hitchhiker. The following evening, his body was found off the highway. He was shot 7 times and his money was missing. His car was found September 19th, 70 miles north of the scene, and a receipt from a nearby gas station had a time stamp on it. And then so the police took that, questioned the clerk, and then the clerk remembered that it was two women that came in.
September 11th, 1990.
And the sketches, he said that was who it was. And so then the police realized there was a serial killer around, a woman, female serial killer.
September 11th, Wilson Phillips' Release Me was the number one song. There was CBS aired a pilot called The Family Man, starring Al from Happy Days. That fat guy. That night, he could have watched Who's the Boss. It was on.
Could have.
It was a Tuesday night.
And then Walter Antonio was a 60-year-old trucker on November 18th. So they've gotten away with this for months now.
Yeah, so at this point,
now it's November 18th. Just like,
at some point, the light has probably gone on. We can fund ourselves this way. Let's just kill these
dudes.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
And we'll get the money, and we'll just, you know, this is how we'll go.
And so this one, he was, on November 18th, a police officer out hunting found his nude body in Dixie County. And he had been shot four times. And then on November 24th, his car was found.
I was gonna say, meanwhile, while he's finding this body, Parker Lewis Can't Lose is on television.
I used to love that show.
Did you?
I did.
That night, here was a lineup. Fox had a great lineup at this time.
Yeah,
True
Simpsons.
Colors. I don't know if you remember True Colors.
Yes,
True Colors, Parker Lewis Can't Lose, In Living Color, Get a Life with Chris Elliott, which
was
fabulous.
Oh, that was great.
Married with Children.
Yes.
That was
wasn't The Simpsons on?
It wasn't on.
Not when that was going
apparently
on?
Apparently not. Not that night.
That was on there, too.
Predator 2 was the big movie.
By December, the detectives had a number of leads. A man had said that two women who fit the description had rented an RV from him a year earlier, and he had the receipt with their names on it. So that's how
they got their names.
Police also found some of the victims' belongings in pawn shops and retrieved fingerprints matching those found in the victim's car. Wuornos had a criminal record in Florida, and her fingerprints were on file. So that's how they nabbed her, knew who she was.
Yeah.
On January 9th, 91, she was arrested on an outstanding warrant at the Last Resort, a biker bar, which I would love to go to, kind of, but then I would be terrified to go in.
Let's go look at it for a second.
Just to see it.
Yes, I have info on this. I looked that part up. She was arrested in that bar.
For something else, right?
Yeah, so at this point, Tyria had left.
Because she wasn't involved in the murders.
No, she says. But yeah. Eileen Wuornos got hammered at she crashed a biker party at a biker bar and got hammered and passed out on a car seat inside the bar. And they arrested her just for, I think, drunk and disorderly. And that's when they realized who she was. I think once they arrested her.
They knew her name. So
yeah, once they took her in, they just saw this drunk woman. I think, so she got hammered and passed out.
Police located Moore the next day in Scranton, Pennsylvania. She agreed to elicit a confession from Wuornos in exchange for immunity from prosecution. She returned with the police to Florida, where she was put up in a motel. Under police guidance, she made numerous telephone calls to Wuornos, pleading for help in clearing her name. 3 days later, Wuornos confessed to the murders on the phone. She claimed the men had tried to rape her, and she killed him in self-defense. In January 92, she was convicted of Mallory's murder with help from Tyria's testimony. After her sentencing, psychiatrist for the defense testified she was mentally unstable and had borderline personality disorder, which she probably did. So on March 31st, 92, she pleaded no contest to the murders of Humphreys, Burris, and Spears, saying she wanted to get right with God.
He probably forgave
her. In 92, she pled guilty to the murder of Kerskadon. She got her fifth death sentence, so she was sentenced to death five times. So then she pled guilty for the murder of the last guy and was sentenced to death again. No charges were brought against her for the murder of Seams, as his body was never found. So she got six death sentences in all. She told several inconsistent stories about the killings. She claimed initially all seven men had raped her while she was working as a prostitute, but later recanted the claim of self-defense, citing robbery and a desire to leave no witnesses as a reason for murder. During an interview with filmmaker Nick Broomfield, when she thought the cameras were off, she told him it was in fact self-defense, but she could not stand being on death row, where she'd been for 10 years at that point, and wanted to die. In 2001 petition, she stated her intention to dismiss her legal counsel and terminate all pending appeals. She said, "I killed those men, robbed them as cold as ice, and I'd do it again too. There's no chance in keeping me alive or anything because I'd kill again. I have hate crawling through my system. I'm so sick of hearing that she's crazy stuff. I've been evaluated so many times. I'm competent, sane, and I'm trying to tell the truth. I'm one who seriously hates human life and would kill again." While her attorneys argued she was not mentally competent to make such a request, she insisted she knew what she was doing, and a court-appointed panel of psychiatrists agreed. Her execution took place October 9th, 2002. She died at 9:47, declined her last meal, which could have been anything under $20. I didn't know that.
Hmm.
It was her last words were, "Yes, I would just like to say I'm sailing with the rock and I'll be back, like Independence Day with Jesus, June 6th, like the movie, big mothership and all. I'll be back, I'll be back." She was the 10th woman in the United States and the second in Florida to be executed since 76 Supreme Court decision restored capital punishment. Wuornos' body was cremated and her ashes were spread beneath a tree in her native Michigan. She requested Natalie Merchant's song Carnival be played at her funeral.
Her last words, Eileen Wuornos' final words.
"Yes, I would just like to say that I'm sailing with the rock and I'll be back, like Independence Day with Jesus, June 6th, like the movie, big mothership and all. I'll be back. I'll be back."
Well, that's the end of the episode of 1990. Get out of here, Chuck Berry. Thanks for listening.
1990.
Get out of here, Chuck Berry. You already said it.
I know, but I want you to say it too. Okay. And we leave you with, get out of here, Chuck Berry.
Get out of here, Chuck Berry.
Get out of here, Chuck Berry. That's what you say, yeah. Everybody.
Giving you the benefit of the doubt, giving you a minute to try to work it all out. I'll be giving you the benefit of the doubt. I'll be giving you a minute to try to work it all out. Baby, work it all out. Work it.